You're always in the future. Yeah? What we are doing tomorrow, what we are doing in the next hour, yeah? Or in the past, how nice it was in the past, or how not nice it was in the past, yeah? But the present moment, we don't know what is going on. What the hell is going on in this body? Huh? What is going on in the heart? Huh? The kilesas constantly drag us out, yeah? We want to know about this, we want to know about that, yeah? When I'm going to finish, yeah? I'm going to just sit 5 minutes here, and when I'm going to finish. Yeah. Always in our thoughts. We have to shut down the mind engine. Yeah? I talk so often. Shut it down, yeah? I mean, see, yeah? What is left? Huh? This noisy mind engine that constantly thinks and constantly memorizes. Yeah? When this is gone, I mean, it's so peaceful. No matter how unpeaceful the outside is, huh? No matter how noisy the outside is, inside is so peaceful. Huh? And we are not bothered by anything. Huh? If you're not in samadhi, we are constantly bothered by this or by this occasion, by that occasion, think about this and think about that. Huh? We do have to realize, I mean, yeah? The thoughts that are coming, or the memories that are coming, are not me, are not mine, is not myself. Yeah? Anatta. Yeah? I mean, there are three principles. Yeah? Three principles, universal characteristics. Yeah? Anatta. Yeah? Whatever appears, whatever happens, whatever appears in our mind or appears in this world, is not me, is not mine, is not myself. Our Buddha teaches like this. It's helpful, it can be really helpful, yeah? Because the kilesas constantly make us believe it is me. I am so bad. Huh? No. I mean, who is this, you know, who tells us this, yeah? It's this voice within us, yeah, that constantly tells us, oh, I'm doing good. No, I'm not doing good. You know, I'm better than the others, yeah? No, I'm not better than the others, yeah? I mean, what is the point of this, huh? I want to know about this, I want to know about that, huh? And we constantly fall for the tricks of the kilesas. The kilesas are our enemy, they are not our friends, even if they tell us, ah, that's our friend, yeah? Oh, I'm so tired. Who's telling us this? Huh? We never question, yeah? We never question this, yeah? We should constantly question, who are you to tell me that I'm not good? Huh? Who are you? Huh? Huh? Because the heart knows that there is a thought that comes into the mind, huh? Or that this there is this voice. Huh? Who are you? Huh? But the kilesa is mine. It's me, it's me, it's mine. Huh? It's myself. It is my feeling. Yeah? It is my memory. It is my thoughts. Yeah? And it must be right because it is my thought. No, it is not right. There is a thought. We should always use this principle. There is a thought, there is a memory, there is a feeling. Yeah? And then we can start investigating. But most of the time we just put our attention back to the Buddha or put our attention back to the breath. Oh, where does this thought come from? I haven't thought about it for a long time. What the heck? Yeah? I mean, thoughts constantly appear and constantly disappear. Yeah? Just like this cloud, you know, appears and disappears. Or this wind comes and then the wind goes. Yeah? The sun goes up, you know, and then the sun goes down. It has nothing to do with us. So why do we think that the thoughts that come into our mind, you know, have something to do with us? If somebody comes into the sight of our eyes, it is not me, huh? It's not mine, it's not myself, yeah. I mean, this we know, huh? Something comes in our sight, yeah? If another person or another thing, you know, another thing that we see, yeah? We are not the thing that we see, nor are we the feeling that we feel, huh? More difficult, huh? Huh? nor are we the thoughts that we think, nor are we the memories that come up. We see them coming up and we see them going away. Anatta is a really, really good principle. Yeah? Especially, you know, if you come from the West, you know, we're so attached to our thoughts, so attached to ourself, yeah? Our knowledge, our this, our that, yeah? And especially then, you know, also our body. Yeah? It's not me. The body is not me. Yeah? It's a vehicle that we use, yeah? Just like a car. We go into the car, we start the car, we drive the car. Yeah? But the problem is, you know, that from the moment we are born into this car, you know, I mean, we don't get out. Yeah? So we believe that we are the car. Yeah? And this is something that we have to really investigate. We are not this car, we are not this body. Yeah? The body is the body, feeling is feeling, memory is memory, thought is thought, yeah? Consciousness is consciousness. We are not even the consciousness. Yeah? If we are good in our practice, I mean, we can see consciousness arising and ceasing. Huh? Oh. What happens when we are not conscious? Huh? Huh? Consciousness is something that appears in our sense. Yeah? It's as one of the senses makes contact, and that's called consciousness. Yeah? Everything else, you know, what kind of sense, you know, memory tells us what kind of sense. Yeah? Is it a sight? Is it a hearing? Is it a feeling? Yeah? Is it a touch? Yeah? What kind of sense? Yeah? That's all, yeah. People think so much about consciousness. Yeah? If there's no consciousness, we don't die. Yeah? We can be aware of being unconscious. Yeah? So all these five khandhas, no? These groups. No? It's not me, it's not mine, it's not myself. It doesn't belong to me. Yeah? Because the one that, no? that really belongs to us, in quotation marks, no? Is the citta. That's what we are. Yeah? But this citta has no personality. It takes on a personality. Just like we take on a personality in a video game. Yeah? We play this figure and that figure, yeah? And then we get this personality, you know, and we get angry, you know, if something comes in our way. That's why I called, you know, our life, you know, it's a video game called life, yeah? When it is over, we get the new life, yeah? Huh? We put in another coin to play another video game, yeah? And another video game. And if you see, you know, if you have seen people getting addicted to video games, then you understand, yeah? How we get addicted to life, yeah? We want to live, you know, we want to try out this, we want to try out that. Huh? But we are not the person, we are not this figure in the video game. Yeah? Nor are we this figure. Yeah? But, you know, of course we groom this person. Yeah, we groom this figure in the video game. Huh? Huh? We go there, you know, to learn this, or we go there to learn that. Huh? Or we go there and explore this or explore that or fight this person or fight that person or whatever. Yeah, I mean there's so many video games around now. I don't even know. At the time when we had our first big machine, you know, there was just one video game on it, and it wasn't even graphic. It was just text video game. But one can get addicted to it very easily, just like we get addicted to life, yeah? So when we die, you know, we look for a new game, yeah? And then depending on our karma, we either go to hell, or we go to heaven, or we go into the ghost realm, or we come back as a human being. And then it starts all over again. Then we are born, if we are born as a human being, then we have to educate this body. We have to learn to walk, we have to learn to talk, then we have to learn to write, then we have to learn to read, and then we have to learn to think. It took us about 16 to 18 years to train this body. Huh? And then what we do? We don't think about it anymore. Then we use it, yeah, we can use it maybe for 30 years, yeah, until it starts to break down. In these 30 years where we have enough strength, these are important, yeah, because a lot of things that we do, you know, are either good karma or bad karma. Yeah. And that leads us to the next life, yeah? Just like, you know, the good and bad karma led us to this life. We are born because of our Dhamma, we die because of our karma, and mostly everything, you know, that happens to us is because of our karma from our previous life. This we have to accept. We have to accept, you know, this teaching of the Lord Buddha. I mean, he says it quite clearly. That the person, I mean, in one of the suttas in the middle length saying, he says it quite clearly. I mean, everybody, you know, wants to know it, you know, can read it. Somebody, you know, who is very generous in this life, I mean, he will become, in his next life, he will become very, very rich. Yeah? So, he didn't say in this life. He said in the next life. The other thing, yeah, somebody who never thinks about himself and always helps other people, in the next life he will become extraordinarily beautiful, yeah, or handsome, yeah? Depending on the sex that you choose. Yeah, it didn't say in this life. Yeah? So most of the things that we do come from that, from the last life, and we should accept it. We should not fight it. The things that are appearing in front of us. No matter if the practice is difficult or easy, yeah? I mean, it constantly changes. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's difficult. Yeah? Sometimes we are up, sometimes our mood is good, sometimes our mood is bad. We should not yeah, take that for granted. We should not be interested in this. We should be only interested. Yeah? There are two things that we should be interested in. Be it the Buddha for samatha, be it the Buddha. Is the Buddha fast? Is the Buddha slow? Is the Buddha, yeah? Is the Buddha deep or is it Buddha shallow? Yeah? Is it the beginning of the Buddha? Is it the end of the Buddha? Is it, yeah? Is it the pause between one Buddha and the next Buddha? And the same for the breath, whoever observes the breath. Yeah? We should know, is it the beginning of the breath? Is it the end of the breath? Is it the middle of the breath? Is it the in-breath? Is it the out-breath? Is the in-breath longer than the out-breath? And so on, and so on. We should know this. Huh? These things, you know, we should know, we should observe. Huh? Everything else, we shouldn't be interested. If the mood is good or not as good, you know, we shouldn't be interested. We should be interested if the Buddha or the breath is good or not. Yeah, if the breath is deep or shallow. If the breath... is detailed or not detailed. And we don't want to change the breath and we don't want to change the Buddha. Yeah? We want only, you know, if the Buddha is not there or if we lose the breath, that we want to go back to the breath. That is our only concern from the morning we wake up until the time we go to sleep. Yeah? We stick with the Buddha or stick with the breath. That's the only thing that we are concerned about. Everything else we are not concerned about. And the other thing, yeah, that is the way of practice. The other thing is, once the mind gets calm, once the mind, you know, doesn't deviate from his object, you know, be it the Buddha or be it the breath for 10 to 15 minutes, when there's no more thoughts and no more memories coming, then we can start to investigate this body, yeah, the first of the khandhas. Yeah? And we investigate in the beginning, we think about life, we think about being born, we think about educating this body, we think about death. Yeah? It is always helpful. Yeah? Sooner or later we will die. We don't know when. Yeah? Some people die with 20, some people die with 40, some people die with 60, other people, you know, get 100 years old. Yeah? All depending on our karma. But sooner or later we will die. Yeah? And sooner or later, you know, we will get sick. The Lord Buddha said, yeah, what does it say? Yeah. Sickness, old age, yeah. And death. Yeah? And born. Birth, sickness, old age, death. Yeah? It's dukkha. This body is so much dukkha. Yeah? Wherever we go, wherever, you know, we have to carry this flesh and these bones and with us. Carry it, yeah. I mean, it's a big load, huh? Wow. Get out of the body and you feel free, you know? Hmm? and see, you know, ah, what is this? It looks like me, yeah? It looks like my body, yeah? And then we can look around, okay, yeah? And sooner or later we get in, yeah? And then we think it is us, yeah? But when we go out, you know, and have a look around, yeah? Just like the person who is born in a car, you know, and the Lord Buddha, you know, knocks at the windows and says, ah, get out, you know, have a look, you know, you're not the car, yeah? But people who, yeah, who are born in the car, you know, who die in the car, of course they believe they are the car. Yeah? And we as human peoples, you know, we bury this car when it breaks down, yeah? We make a big grave, you know, we what is it, we cremate it, yeah? And then, well, we put it in our living room, the ashes. And think about our ancestors, yeah? Think about the past, yeah? And then think about the future. Yeah? This is a body, yeah? This is a body, this is a vehicle, and we should look at it like this, yeah? We should take care of it, yeah? But, you know, not overly taking care of it, just like the rest of the world, you know, overly take care of it. They work for the body, and then they die, yeah? All their thoughts are going on around this body, yeah? Where I'm going next, you know, what I'm doing next, you know. But we have to work for this body, yeah? After educating, after our parents take care for us, you know, for the first 18 years, yeah? And then we start to take care of this body, yeah? Until it dies. Yeah? Why carry this weight around with us, yeah? Well, why look at it? You know, I mean, yes, it is a very fascinating thing, yeah? This is a very fascinating machine. Just like, you know, just like normally males are very fascinating about the different kinds of cars, what kind of machine, what kind of engine they have in there. You know, they look at, you know, take it apart, you know, and then put it together, and then tune it and so on. It's the same thing that we do with our body, yeah? Some people, you know, do a lot of sport to tune their body, you know, some people, you know, think about the nutriments of the body and so on, yeah? I mean, where's the difference? Huh? It's not me, it's not mine, it's not myself, it doesn't belong to me. Huh? And this is something we have to realize. Huh? It is a second fetter. Yeah? And the first three fetters we have to cut, yeah, to be able to go to become a sotapanna, yeah? To become a stream enter, the first three fetters. What is the first? Not believing there's heaven, not believing that there's hell, not believing that there's karma, not believing that there are results of karma, not believing that there are beings in heaven, not believing that there are beings in hell. Yeah? This is the first fetter, yeah? Called the fetter of doubt. Yeah, doubt that there's karma, doubt that there's results of karma, huh? Doubt that there's heaven, doubt that there's hell. Yeah? Well, the second fetter is not keeping... Or the body, you know, I mean, I mix it up, you know, sometimes called the, I think it is, in the suttas it's called the second fetter. I call it the third fetter. And the second fetter is not keeping the precepts, yeah? Fiddling with the precepts, and the five precepts, yeah? Not harming any living being, yeah? Not taking what is not given, the second one, no sexual misconduct, yeah? The fourth one, no lies, no harmful speech. And the fifth one, no alcohol, no drugs, yeah? Whatever makes us unmindful. Yeah? These five precepts, yeah? Fiddling with these five precepts, yeah? Most of the people in this world, yeah? And either keeping them, non-keeping them, yeah? Some people are not even interested in keeping them. Most of us, you know, were interested. Sometimes we kept them, then we didn't keep them, then we kept them, and then we didn't keep them. That is the second fetter. So, I mean, from today on, we just keep them. Yeah? Don't worry about anything else. Yeah? When we are monk, we keep the 227 rules. When we make cheese, you know, we keep the 8. Yeah? And as long as we are in this monastery, we keep the 8 precepts as well. Yeah? And then forget it. Anything that goes out of the bounds of these precepts, forget it. Yeah, don't do it. That is, you know, that is getting rid of the second fetter. Yeah? The first fetter, yeah, if we if you start to trust, you know, in the teaching of the Lord Buddha and trust that there is heaven and hell and so on, yeah, and then we get rid of the first fetter, and then the only problem is the third fetter, yeah, and this is really tough, yeah, because I mean, we are so attached to this body and we so much believe that we are this body. Yeah. So either we get out and have a look at the body. If we cannot get out, you know, I mean, and we dissect this body, you know, we put the body out in front of us, all the body parts, yeah? I mean, no matter if it is the arms, the legs, you know, the fingers, you know, the toes, and so on, yeah? And the inside, you know, and until we see everything, yeah? Until we see the skeleton, yeah? We see the flesh, you know, we see the inside organs, you know, put them all out, you know? And so what is sitting there and what observing this? Yeah? This cannot be the body. Yeah? The body is lying in front of us. And this we have to do, you know, until it clicks, yeah? Until we really see it. Yeah? I mean, these are the body parts, yeah? And there's something seeing this body part or being aware of this body part. Yeah? And then we put it back together, and the moment we put one of the body parts, you know, be it the brain or be it, you know, put any part of the body back onto the seat, you know, I mean, suddenly this eye arises again. Ah, oh, it's me. Yeah, it's mine. Yeah. But when everything lies out, you know, I mean, the the sense of I or the sense of self, you know, weakens, and if it cuts, you know, that's good, yeah. But it has to cut deep, yeah, so that, you know, that is the point, you know, where we can enter the Sotapanna. And when we enter Sotapanna or stream entry, that is the way out. And this is the thing as a human being, what is most important, what is actually our task, yeah, to find a way out of this hamster wheel that we're constantly running around in this hamster wheel, constantly going from one realm to the other. Yeah. And there are 31 realms, 25 heavenly realms there. Yeah. Then this human realm, then this animal realm, the ghost realm, the demon realm, and the hell realm. You're running and running and running. Yeah? And the human birth is the best place where you can find a way out. Yeah? It's the easiest. It is the jumping pot where we can jump out, yeah? Where we can open the door. And opening the door is the Sotapanna, is the stream entry. Yeah? I mean, so put your effort in. Yeah? But the first thing, yeah, when we look at the fourth noble truth, sila, yeah, we keep the sila, samadhi, yeah, we learn how, we train, and that is really important. I mean, any kind of investigation where we don't have sati is not worthwhile. Yeah, it doesn't bring any fruit. Yeah? We can think about this body, we can think about this comparison with a car for the rest of our lives, and nothing will happen. Yeah? We can even do this exercise that I just talked about it. And if we don't have sati, if we don't have this awareness that is really there and seeing what is going on, yeah, I mean, then we don't cut anything. Yeah? It is like our knife is blunt. Yeah? We want to cut the tree of self, yeah, and if we have a blunt knife, all what we do is scratch it. And if it is really blunt, you know, the moment we scratch it or and then takes the next time, then the tree regenerates again. Yeah, So we have to sharpen the knife. And sharpening the knife is the way of samadhi. We practice samadhi until really there's some quiet, yeah? Some peacefulness in the heart. Yeah? When there is no more thoughts, when there's no more memories coming up, that's when we call it samadhi. Yeah? It can be Kanika Samadhi, it can be Upachara Samadhi. Most of us will be able to go into Upachara Samadhi, but we need to put some effort. We still hang on our thoughts, huh? We believe these thoughts, yeah? And that's why they still hang around, yeah? It's just like all these friends, you know, that are constantly surrounding us, yeah? If we are not interested in them, yeah? And then they will go away. But as the moment we take a little bit interest, yeah? Be it a negative interest, why are you still bothering me? That's also interest. Oh, being a positive interest, where you come from, yeah? What are you doing? What is your profession? Yeah? Anybody who studied abroad, you know, there were the common questions we were asked. Yeah? What are you doing? Where are you studying? What is your major? Yeah? Yeah, that is positive interest, when we are interested in where these thoughts are or memories are coming from. Or if we don't want them, it's the same thing. It's also interest. We don't want anything. We are observing. That is, and we have to make that clear all the time. We are observing, observing, observing what is going on. We are not judging what is going on. Understood? We are not judging. You don't say, I don't want this or I want this. I don't want this or I don't want it. This is good or this is bad. We are not judging. We are observing what is gone because we want to understand the principles of how this machine that we call self works. That's why the Lord Buddha gave us the 5 khandhas to investigate. The most difficult khandhas to investigate is sanya sankhara, is thought and memory formation. So we start with the one that is the simplest one, because it is there all the time, it doesn't leave us. And that is the body. And with the body comes bodily feeling. This we start to investigate. When we do samadhi, we investigate the feeling of dukkha vedana, feeling of pain. What is pain? We ask, what is pain? Not, I don't want this pain. What is pain? Where is this pain? Is it moving? Is it constant? Is it anicca? Is it impermanent? Is it arising? Is it ceasing? Yes, of course it is arising and ceasing. Because before there was no pain, now there is pain, and afterwards there is no pain again. Anicca, impermanence, arising and ceasing, constant arising and ceasing. But we think the moment there is pain, it's always pain. Nothing is lasting in this universe. We have to realize that. The body is not lasting, feelings are not lasting, memories are not lasting. None of these are lasting. We can observe them all. So we observe and observe them. And observe, what is pain? Where is this pain? Is it point-wise? Is it area-wise? And then we investigate it. And when we investigate it correctly, when we come close to the understanding, and the understanding doesn't take place in our brains, the understanding takes place in our heart. That's where the understanding is. And when we come close to the understanding, the pain moves from one area to the next area. Be it in the beginning in the left knee, and then it moves to the right knee, and then moves to the back, and then it might move to the head or to the shoulders or wherever. So then we follow it, going to the next place and starting doing the same kind of investigation until it shows us where it comes from. When it shows us where it comes from, then we have an insight. Of course we know where it comes from, but we haven't seen it. It's not the same thing. We know that there is Africa, or we know that there is this town and that town, but we haven't seen it yet. So we have to understand it with our inner eyes, not with our outer eyes. Investigation is not about, analyzing something. Investigation is about finding out, questioning, putting the right question. Is it anicca? Is it impermanent? Is it changing? And when you look very closely, even if it is very intense pain, in one moment it is very intense, and then it is less intense, then it is more intense, and sometimes it's painful, sometimes it's not so painful. We are observing. Observing is there, for us to understand. It's just like these old scientists. Where did all most of our science come from? How did they find out about the models of the atomic structures? Observing. They didn't come with knowledge. This should be like this. This should be like that. Anyway, the Lord Buddha saw it 2,500 years ago. We are a little bit late. In 1920s, we found out the atomic structure, and the smallest building block of the universe was the atom. Our Lord Buddha told us, you know, 2,500 years ago. But this is something we observe, and through observing we understand. And that's why we need our attention, constant attention. It's just like a physicist makes an experiment, yeah? Or a biologist, you know, makes an experiment, and then he watches the process, yeah? And watches the process from the beginning to the end. And then through observing he understands, yeah? He doesn't need, you know, his brain for this, yeah? But he has to observe all the time, yeah? If he gets hungry, or if he gets thirsty, you know, and puts his attention somewhere else, or somebody else comes in, then he has to start the experiment again, yeah? And observing every nuance, every time slot of the experiment, and once he observes it all, he understands what is happening. And that is the same thing for us in our practice. That's why I like this example. Yeah? It's the same thing. We're observing. You know, we're observing pain. We're observing feelings that are arising. We observe. Yeah? And don't find conclusions what is happening. Yeah? Because the moment the heart understands, it understands it completely. Yeah? When we take it then, you know, when we try to formulate, it's not complete. Yeah. Yeah? So this is the most important thing, you know, I mean, but concerning the practice. Observing, not judging, not analyzing it. Yeah? Questioning, yes. I'm putting the right question. Yeah? I mean, the question, where did it come from, it's not helpful. Yeah? Putting the right question. Yeah? The right question is not where did it come from, what came before. Yeah? That is the rolling back the process. Yeah, it's just like, you know, what is it called? Sugar. Throwing sugar into a hot pan, you know, and making what is it? Candy cotton. Yeah. And all what it needs is, sugar and a hot pan. Yeah? And then it blows up. Yeah. Blows up, ne? Just like our emotions blow up. Ne? Oh, where is this emotion coming from? Yeah? It's not coming from anywhere. Yeah? I mean, it started, you know, with throwing sugar into the hot pan. Yeah. Oh, for us, you know, we're throwing thoughts, you know, and then, you know, into feelings or memories, into feelings, you know, and boom, 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 it blows up. Yeah? Within the blink of an eye, it blows up. Yeah? And we think, that is gone. Where is it coming from? We know where it's coming from. We made it. Yeah, it's all our fault. Yeah? It's nobody else's fault. Because we didn't observe correctly. If we observe correctly, we see what is happening. Yeah? And then we can stop the process at any moment. Yeah? It's just like, you know, I mean, people who know snow, I mean, you throw a stone into snow and it rolls down. And with each turn, it takes on snow and snow and snow. Yeah. People in Bavaria should know that, yeah? It's called avalanche, yeah? And that's how our emotions, yeah? And then the emotion becomes so big, you know, and then we stand in the way and then it rolls over us, yeah? Yeah? Instead of, you know, just picking out the stone. And that's why we need this reflection, to see what happened in the beginning, yeah? What was the stone, you know, that caused it, yeah? That's why we do also the daily reflection, yeah? When we look at the day, you know, what kind of thoughts, what kind of murmurs did I wake up? Huh? What did I do then? You know, what was the motivation to do this? You know, to see the thoughts or to see the memories that lead to our next action. In the beginning, we cannot recollect very much, yeah? But if we train it every day, you know, we can recollect. And then we see, you know? And then we see how moods are arising. We see how emotions are arising. But we have to see it, yeah? That's why we need this reflection. And it is very important. It is a training, it is our first training to gather insight, to develop insight. Huh? Insight seeing, huh? Well, what does it mean, the word insight? Huh? There's the word sight and in. So we're seeing inside the nature of the problem, huh? It's not the inside with a D. It's seeing insight is seeing and understanding. Seeing insight. And this seeing is can only happen with our inner eyes. And with sati, with this clear knowing of what is going on. This clear knowing, clear understanding. And this understanding doesn't take place in our brain. It takes place in our heart. The moment the heart sees and understands something, it will never forget. We don't have to put it into memory. Huh? Don't try to remember the insights that you have. It's all bullshit. Yeah? The true insight, we never forget. If the heart understood something, it will never forget. Yeah? And it will build on this insight. Yeah? And then the next insight comes, and the next insight comes. Yeah? In the beginning, a very small insight. Yeah? You will know that there is an insight. Yeah? Don't make anything out of it. Yeah? And you will not forget it. These things, the heart will not forget. So we have to show the heart. We have to really show the heart what is going on, what it is doing. And that's why we need this daily reflection. We need this daily reflection to see how the heart is swayed by this, how the heart is swayed by that, why the heart is doing this, why the heart is talking to somebody, listening or doing this or doing that. We want to know what came before, before we opened our mouth, It was probably a thought that I want to tell somebody. And what came before that? Dukkha. It always starts with dukkha. Dukkha, boredom, restlessness, and so on. All these dukkha, dissatisfaction. We have so much dukkha, but we don't realize all this dukkha. If you remember, dukkha is the first noble truth. We should recall it. We see it every day. We see the dukkha of the body. We see the dukkha of the path. But if we use a wrong translation of dukkha, like it is called suffering, nobody of us suffers. It's not suffering. It's dissatisfaction. It's dis-ease. It's restlessness. It's boredom. This is all dukkha. It's a container containing all these unpleasantries. And it's pain. And of course, the biggest one is suffering. And that's where we can't really help ourselves anymore when we suffer. But the pain, restlessness, boredom always makes us do something. And this is something that we have to understand. This is something we have to observe. We have to understand why are we doing the things that we are doing. And what are the results of our doing? Or the results of our action? Or the results of our speech? And for that we need a lot of sati. Sati, sati, sati. And sati is not mindfulness, it's awareness. Mindfulness, most of you are very mindful, but none of you, hardly see any one of you being aware of what is going on. We are very mindful walking. While the mind is full of this walking. Sati is mind emptiness. The heart is completely empty, so it knows whatever goes on in the heart. That's the difference. English, the closest word is awareness, being aware. German, it's Gewahrsein. Okay, so I think it's enough for today. If you have any questions, then you might ask them now. Von Kautzei bei mir. Jogmani Kautzei Mutla. Ludovic, understood? Put some effort in your practice, Yes, it's a body. Jogmani, it's a body. Constantly moving here, moving there, moving here. I mean, you should investigate pain, Dukkha Vedana. Cannot sit even for half an hour. Can't sit still. Okay, any questions?
Yeah? When we do investigation, the other day, when I was sitting doing some meditation, I was bitten by a mosquito.
Yeah.
And the pain comes.
Yeah.
And goes up.
Yeah.
After some time.
Yeah.
So even though I don't find a conclusion, I can say, this is anicca.
Yeah.
I mean, my tina.
Yeah.
I can say, maybe sometimes the baby will, maybe this is dukkha.
Yeah.
That is not, I think that I can say that.
Yes. And that is the difference. Yeah? When the mind says it, yeah, it the heart is not responding. The heart has to see. So the heart has to observe. It has to observe, yeah. It has to observe the mosquito biting. It has to observe how the pain increases, yeah. And it has to observe that the pain disappears, yeah. But we don't want pain, and that's where the mind comes in, or where the kilesas come in. We don't want pain, so we want to get rid of pain, yeah. And that's where our investigation doesn't bear any fruit, yeah. We, from our training as human beings, or most of us, you know, from Western societies or even Asian societies, we are trained to understand with the brain. Yeah? That's not helpful. We have to see and understand. Yeah? And then, if you do a lot of pain investigation, I mean, then you're not bothered by it as well. And then you see, okay, there's pain, and it disappears. Yeah? But we have to accept these pain. And that's what we, most of us, don't want, to accept pain. Huh? That's why we move here and there, here and there. Huh? We don't want to accept pain. Yeah? And the first thing in any kind of investigation, you know, of feeling, yeah, or of pain, or of dukkha, yeah, we have to accept it. We have to breathe it in, really. And feel it. The whole body feels the pain, yeah. Once we can accept it, then we can ask the question, yeah, is it where is it, you know, is it point-wise, is it area-wise, is it in the skin, is it in the tendons, is it, yeah, is it in the bones, is it in the flesh, yeah, is it in the muscle, yeah? Where exactly is it? And you will be surprised, you cannot find the spot where it actually is. Yeah? Because the moment, you know, the moment you come close to the understanding, it moves, yeah. And then see, it wasn't in the skin, it wasn't in the muscles, it wasn't in the tendons, it was nowhere, it just moved to another place. So it's a magic, it's a kind of magic pain, yeah? But if you go for it, if you go for our analysis, oh yeah, I'm sitting uncomfortable, that's why the pain comes. No, yeah? Because then you couldn't move, yeah? Oh, I stretch my body, or I break my body, or I do this, or I do that. Yeah? All this fear that comes in. Yeah? No, this is not. Yeah? The pain is a sort of magical pain that appears, you know, and then disappears. Then it comes again, and then it appears, and then it disappears, and it comes again. Yeah? It's something that the kilesas love to distract us. Yeah? But for a practitioner, it is something that we love to see. Ah, because it doesn't slip away like the Buddha. Huh? The Buddha slips away, or the breath slips away, but the pain doesn't slip away. So, it is a very good object, you know, to look on it, to observe it, yeah? So whatever comes, you know, the answers, whatever comes out of the mind is not the real understanding. Yeah? It's an analysis that we do, but this analysis, the brain follows, yeah, but the heart does not understand it yet. Yeah? That's the same thing, yeah. I don't like my body. Of course people say, I don't like my body, I don't need my body. But we are attached to this body. The heart still does not understand that it is attached to this body. It loves this body, you know, it wants this body. So we have to show the heart, you know, what kind of burden this body is, how ugly, how loathsome this body is. Once the heart sees how loathsome and how burdensome this is, I mean, it lets go of this body. Yeah? Understood? Okay, other questions?
The other day, I asked you about imagination of certain men or women.
Yeah.
When a man or woman appears on my mind,
yeah,
I think I normally imagine him or her as a skeleton.
Yeah.
If I want to make it stronger,
yeah.
So what should I do?
It is the same thing. When you start with learning to walk as a child, yeah, you can stand up and then you fall over. Yeah? So constantly doing this, so constantly, you know, doing the same sort of practice, it becomes stronger. Just like our samadhi, it becomes stronger. And that's the same thing. Yeah? But as I told you before, don't only use the skeleton. The skeleton is okay, yeah. But you know, I mean, strip off, yeah. I mean, if you see a man or woman, strip the skin off, yeah. You don't want to see. Yeah? Try that, yeah. In the skeleton is in the beginning is okay, yeah. It is better than seeing the whole form, yeah. But what is worthwhile is stripping off, yeah.
Strip everything.
Yeah, strip everything off.
Okay.
You can learn that with yourself, yeah? You think, imagine when you sit in practice and imagine you're in front of the mirror and then you make a knife, you know, and then you see the cut in the skin, yeah? And you see the blood running out and then you take the skin and then you move it and then you see what is underneath the skin, yeah? And then a shower runs down your spine. That's real, yeah. And then you see what is behind, you know, behind this masquerade that we call skin. That's what we go for it, you know. That's what we fall in. The man falls for, you know, for the women appearance, women skin, and the women fall for the man appearance, and it's all skin, yeah. They don't fall for what is inside the skin, yeah. Nobody, yeah. If you see your girlfriend or your boyfriend, you know, without skin, you don't even want to look at it. Huh? You don't want to get closer. Huh? That's very helpful, if you can do it. But we can learn it, yeah? So, I mean, constant practice, you know, constant practice of samadhi, you know, improves our samadhi, constant practice of replacing, you know, replacing the images with something else, with another image, you know, is helpful, you know, and it will make it stronger. Okay, understood. So, more questions? No more questions? Yeah?
So even we are thinking about negative cases and while we are still watching them around in our mind.
Yes.
Yes,
in the beginning, we use the thoughts to create these images that are not real, yeah? But through creating these images, we think about these images. I mean, it is the first step, yeah? Before you can see really the things that are inside. So we need these images, and it is really helpful. And there are books, you know, super books, you know, where we look at these images, yeah, and we see it, you know. And then we close our eyes and then try to see the internal, the real ones, yeah. But in the beginning, we need to use it, yeah. Just like in the beginning of our samadhi practice, we need to timestamp and say or to label. Yeah, this is the beginning of the Buddha. This is the end of the Buddha. This is the beginning of the Buddha. Yeah, but sooner or later we will develop this knowingness. And this knowingness is the real thing. We know about the Buddha, or we know, yeah, this image, you know, because we retract it and see the inside. We see with our inner eyes. Well, it takes a long time, yeah, for most of the people. For some people, you know, within a week, you know, they can see the inside of their bodies because they have practiced in their previous life. For me, it took me 9 months before I really could see a very blurry image of my inside. Yeah? But I practiced, you know, 6 or 8 hours per day, you know, just seeing these things. So for some people it might even take years, yeah. So don't worry about it, you know, how long it takes, yeah. Huh? We don't know, we are at the path, you know, we are at the path, you know, to walk down towards the goal of Sotapanna or Arahantship, eh? And we don't know how long it takes. Huh? It might take weeks, it might take years, it might take lifetimes. But if we stop walking, we never get there. If we think next life it is easier, we don't even know what is going to happen in the next life. Next year, oh, I make a break. Yeah? And then we don't know what is happening. But as long as we constantly walk, no matter if we slowly walk or if we walk fast, we will reach there sooner or later. Yeah, and that is our hope. Yeah? And should be also our conviction. If you stop walk, I mean, what did the Lord Buddha say? Whoever makes a step, who doesn't make a step forward, makes two step backwards. Yeah? And you don't want to make step backwards. Yeah? Okay. Next question. So, yeah. Are there some?
After many months of intense samadhi practice, I decided to meditate through the night. I found that after many hours of sitting meditation, my mind was completely without thoughts and I was unaware of my body. The breath sensation was almost gone, was mostly gone. It was like being in a dark, vast room with only one point in front of me. All I could do was bring this point closer or further, but everything else was completely still. I didn't know what else to do, so after an hour into a stop position, could you please tell me where I was and what I should do in the future if I reach it?
Yeah, he lost the interest in his breath. That is the problem. That when he says the breath becomes so subtle that he wasn't aware of this. It is a samadhi, what you experience. But when we are in samadhi, you know, when their thoughts are gone and when the memories are gone, we still have to keep hold of the point of focus. Yeah? And the point of focus is the breath. And when we actually enter samadhi and do the breath meditation, the knowing of the breath becomes so strong. Yeah? We can know that the breath goes through the skin. We can know that the whole breath body. No, the Lord Buddha talks about it, the whole breath body. And we stick with the breath. Yeah? And the knowing of the breath becomes much stronger than the feeling of the breath in the beginning of our meditation. Until we know that the breath stops. And that is where we have to jump into the knowingness. The dark room is that he's getting interested in the other things that are going on. But sometimes nothing is going on, and sometimes a lot of other things. Other people see light, you know, and they follow the light. Now, so he sees a point in the dark room, you know, and so he follows. That is not samadhi. Now, he lost his point of reference. And for samadhi practice, we always have to have a point of reference, be it the Buddha or be it the breath. Yeah?
Your instruction about anapanasati is that to observe the breath at the tip of the nose, but my first teacher instructed to observe the breath above the upper lip and below the nostrils. Is it okay?
It's the same thing. I sometimes say, you know, around the tip of the nose. Yeah, I mean, you cannot really feel it at the tip of the nose. Yeah. It's a point of reference. Okay. Yeah.
I remember when I was about 12 years of age, when one of my teeth fell and I tried to break it with a stone and battered it. During body contemplation, I banged bones against the ground and listened to the sounds and tried to see what is in the bones. Is that correct practice?
It is a kind of practice, but you should, pounding the bones and seeing what is inside, it is not really helpful. It's not really helpful to understand the body. He should see the skeleton, you know, and he should see the whole skeleton when he's dead, yeah. I mean, how the skeleton, you know, goes back to its four elements, huh? How it disintegrates. Not breaking, you know, breaking it apart, yes, it is. Yeah, it can be. Yeah, can be a point of interest. You know, we can do it a few times and then see. But let it disintegrate. Let it disintegrate in the four elements. Because whatever, you know, the whole body is made out of these four elements, the air element, the water element, the fire element, and the earth element. And bones is mostly earth element, but it also has still water element and still fire element and still air element inside it. Yeah? So he should watch it, observe it, you know, he should ask the question, how does it disintegrate, yeah, in itself? Yeah? Or how the whole body dies, you know, what goes out first? Yeah? And then he looks at the death, you know, the death of a human being. And then he sees the first thing that goes out is the air. Then the next thing that goes out is the fire. Then the next thing that goes out is the water. And then he sees slowly disintegrating the whole body. This is really helpful. But more helpful, you know, more helpful for understanding our attachment is seeing the loathsomeness of this body, you know, to observe it like it's still living, yeah? I mean, to go inside, take off the skin, you know, and look inside and take that heart out, you know, and have it. Or take the brain out, you know, and put it into your hands, you know, the squiggling mass, yeah? Yeah? That most of the people use, you know, to imagine the world that they live in, yeah? Yeah, and that's where we use our brain for. Yeah? Imagine the world that we live in. Yeah? Get down to the reality. Yeah? Get out of your ivory tower, yeah? And see, has nothing to do with whatever I imagined to be. Okay? Next.
So in one video, Ajahn Panya said, Kamatanha, lust, is the most powerful of the kilesas. Please talk about this.
Kamaraka.
Raga-tanha,
yeah, yes. It's a sexual desire, sensual desire. No, it's too, that is a question that takes too long.
There are waves of lust coming and going, and I'm trying to see them. As you described, the way of seeing pain.
Yeah.
Feel it to breathe it in throughout the body. Is that the correct way of investing?
It is the first thing, you know, which then we should do. Yeah. Then the next thing is to find the object where the lust is attached to. Yeah. And then change the object into something that is ugly. Huh? That is loathsome. And then you see that the lust disappears. Yeah? That's why we make this a super practice. Because the moment, if a man sees a beautiful woman, the lust comes up, you know, and then he changes this woman, takes off the skin, and then the lust is gone. Yeah? And this imagery appears, you know, and then the lust comes again, and then he changes this image back, you know, and the lust is gone. That's why we make this a super practice, and especially for monks, it is an absolute must, yeah, to do this. Yeah, if there are short questions, yeah, I mean, it was a long talk, and so the next time we can just make question and answers.
Here's a short one. During Samadhi, you see visuals of bird cages, lungs, and skulls. The visuals are not completely clear. I know these visuals are not coming from the head, but from the chest. The question is, when there are visuals, should I ignore them or go back to knowing, to the knowingness of the breath? If you do
samatha, yes, go back to the knowingness of the breath. If after samatha, if after samadhi, use these visuals, you know, reinstate these visuals, you know, in your brain, and then go into investigation. It's quite helpful, yeah. But if these visuals just come, you know, to distract us from samadhi, then forget about it, yeah. We shouldn't do investigation when we do samadhi. When we do samadhi, we should not do investigation, with the one exception when the pain becomes so strong that we cannot keep concentrating on the Buddha or on the breath. And when we do investigation, we shouldn't fall into samadhi, because most of the people, they get so concentrated, you know, for instance, on one part of the body or another part of the body, and then the mind or the chitta switches to samadhi, and we should get out of Ken, yeah, and then go on investigation, asking the question. Don't mix samadhi and samatha up, samadhi and vipassana up. Don't mix them up. Yeah. Otherwise, you won't get into real samadhi and you won't get any effects of your investigation. Okay? Yeah, so keep the rest, keep the other questions for the next time. Is there already a date for the next Zoom session? Or?
So 28th
of February, 26th. Saturday in February. 26th of February, yeah. So we'll make an announcement. But the people who are interested in joining the Zoom session should know it's around the end of February. Yeah. Okay, so get down to your practice. Oh, I'm so tired. Oh, it's so hard work. Don't even touch this. No matter if it is hard or if it is easy. Yeah, just do it. Just do it.